Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Those were much too kind words, Pastor Mark. I'll give you that 20 later. Take care of that. Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to see you. Great to be with you today. As Pastor Mark mentioned, today is a special day. He mentioned we came just on the heels of our fine arts competition. And how many of you guys were here this past Wednesday night to view the presentation, the Fine Arts Showcase? Man, there's some of those students here in the room today. Can we just tell them again how awesome they did? It was incredible, incredible. And of course, you know, we do go to the Fine Arts Competition and we compete, whatever that means. But we stress to our students so much that it doesn't matter what three random judges with subjective opinions who don't know you from Adam say about you. It matters what the God of the universe says about you. And so whatever they say or don't say doesn't disqualify your self-worth, your self-value, or your ministry potential. And I'm telling you, we've got a church full of ministry potential. Church full of ministry potential. So I love these days like this where we get to come in and just honor and celebrate everyone. And even days like this in youth ministry where we celebrate milestones in the lives of really not just the graduates, but the families as well. Some of you moms and dads, you're graduating too. That's your baby. You know what I'm talking about? Susan, you've already shed those tears. We talked about this yesterday. Listen, I get it. It's like a wedding. I mean, it's not just two people joining lives. It's families coming together. It's a whole community that's affected. And graduations are the same exact thing. Not just with the high school graduates, but we have college graduates and trade school and other things, paramedic school graduates. Listen, some of you spouses, you know what I'm talking about. You feel like you took the classes with them. You stayed up late and studied. We put the kids to bed and called out things to them and allowed them to respond. You've been through the ringer with them. And so we just want to take a second here in this service to collectively highlight our graduates together. As you heard in the announcement video, we are going to party it up tonight, okay? We're going to go down to the Christian Life Center, and it's almost like we've invited you into our backyard for a cookout. We just want to hang out and have fun and honor you. It's going to be very low-key. We're going to have food. I mean, well, Christians can't get together without food, right? So we're going to have food. We're going to have games and things for the kids, for the teenagers, for the kids at heart. And, of course, we're going to highlight the graduates a little bit more individually there as well. They're going to tell you their story via videos that they've shot this week about who they are, where they're graduating from, but most importantly, their plans and what they feel like God's doing in their life, and maybe even say some thanks to some of you as well. We're going to give them a gift and just highlight them and honor them in that way. So we want you to join us tonight at 6 o'clock. It's going to be a really fantastic time. You say, well, I'm not a graduate. I don't have anyone in my family that's a graduate. Yes, you do. You have people in your church family that are graduates, and we want you to come and celebrate with us. We'll have a place there where you can give a gift. If you want to give a gift to a specific graduate, maybe a gift card or maybe an envelope, put a little money in it. I'm sure they won't turn that down. We'll have a place designated for each specific graduate where you can drop that in if you'd like to do that. Well, we're going to take just a moment here and pray over our graduates, because I'll be honest with you, we love giving them gifts and we love highlighting them, but one of the best things we can give them is a prayer of blessing over their life. We believe in them, we love them, and we honor them, but we don't just want what we say or believe about them, we want what God says about them to come true. Amen? And all the parents and the spouses said, amen, right? So if you're a high school graduate, a college graduate, a doctoral graduate, you got your master's, trade school, or whatever it may be, technical school, we want to invite you at this time now to come. There's 10 or 12 that are here today, I believe. We want to invite you to just come and stand right here on the floor level and face the audience so everyone will be able to see your beautiful faces. Go ahead and begin to come now. They're coming from the balcony. They're coming from the main floor. Let's give it up for them as they come, everybody. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Yeah, give it up for them. Come on, come on, come on. Let them know, let them know, let them know. Proud of these guys. These are accomplished people. Now listen to me, listen. maybe I shouldn't say this, but I will. You know, we do things in our society that are a little puzzling sometimes, like fifth grade graduations. You know what I'm saying? Eighth grade graduations. I know I'm stepping on some toes here. Listen to me. You know what I love? I love people that have made it to the end of a journey, completed all that's been available to them. And many of these guys say, hey, we're not done. We're moving forward. This is something to celebrate. This is a milestone in the life of these people that they will never forget. And you are here to share it with them. And so what I'm going to ask you to do as a church family today is stand with us. And I'm going to ask you to extend your hands forward this way. We have graduates here today from Dothan High School, Northview High School, Early County High School, Wicksburg High School, Ridgecrest Christian School, Wallace College, Paramedic School, Troy University. Man, our community is well represented. And I believe that as we sow into and invest into these young people and adults, they're going to turn around and invest in our community and change this world. So would you join with me? Let's pray together. Extend your hands and extend your faith. And let's cover them with prayer and with blessings over their life, their present, and their future. Would you pray with me? Father, in the strong and mighty name of Jesus, we come before you today, thankful for the accomplishments of these graduates. They've completed their courses. They've run the race. They've kept the faith, oh God. God, we thank you for the tireless efforts that they put forth, that they worked with diligence, oh God, putting forth their best efforts in the classroom, in extracurricular activities. God, working a full-time job and going to school at night. God, I thank you that they did their best with every test, every assignment, every project they had to work on, that they honored you with their labor, oh God. And now may they know more than ever before that their labor was not in vain, oh God. God, that you have set them up for the next chapter of their life, whether it's college, whether it's postgraduate work, whether it's furthering their career. God, we just pray right now a special blessing over them, over their family, over their future. God, for those who are married couples here today, I speak a blessing over the married couples. I speak a blessing over the parents. God, those who will be going off to school, to four-year universities away from Dothan, Alabama, guard their minds and their hearts in the culture of shifting sand. May they be grounded and rooted on you, Jesus, and your unshakable character and your unchanging nature, oh God. May these be the future leaders of our society. God, we transfer over to them, we pass down to them a godly legacy and heritage. And not only will they change this community with their education, but they will change this community with their revelation of who Jesus Christ is in their life. God, I thank you for who they are, and I thank you for what you're calling them to do. And may their future be brighter than their past. We believe the best is yet to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Can you give them a hand as they make their way back to their seats? Awesome job. Congratulations. Congratulations. Man, I love this. What a privilege to be part of this family. I'm so grateful to be connected to this community of faith. And, you know, we do have some remarkable young adults and adults. And we just want to take a second here to just give some words to them and to you. Now, I have been told that the best commencement speech or the best graduation message is a short one. So in conclusion, no, if you'll indulge me for just a few minutes, I want to open up God's Word and allow it to speak to us. If you have your Bibles, if you'll go ahead and begin to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel 23. Graduates, I want to say to each of you, and I'm going to try to look around the room and find as many of you as I can, congratulations. You did it. Parents, you did it. Spouses, you did it. Congratulations. Now, I have found as I get to attend, I'm privileged and honored to attend so many graduate ceremonies, commencement exercises every single year. It's funny to me because, you know, they ask you a lot of times to, you know, hold your applause, until everyone's name has been read, and then we'll all do one unified thing, and that's fine, that's great. But I have found that there are those parents and families and spouses who say, uh-uh. You know what I'm saying? And the moment, like the very first syllable of the graduate's name is read. They don't even get to the second syllable. And that family member, woo! That's my baby, right? You know what I'm talking about? Have you seen those people? Are you those people? And they scream and they yell and they have banners and balloons and the air horn. You know, I mean, you know what I've often found is those who cheer the loudest are those who had the most doubts in the beginning, right? They never thought that day would come. But it's a milestone. It's a bittersweet day because we're so thankful for all that they've accomplished, the joy in seeing them reach their dreams and watching them cross this threshold into this new life in this next chapter. All that's been learned and gained will now be used to further their life and hopefully God's kingdom. But it is bittersweet because there is a shift that happens. Families who've had graduates go on before when your kids grew up, those of you grandparents in the room, veterans of the faith, seniors here, you know, when your kids grew up and they left the house, a shift happened in your family. Some of you are about to experience some of those shifts. And so there's this mixture of emotions. But I want to say a few words to us today. Graduates, yes, but church family, all of us collectively. Because I know you might be here today thinking, okay, he's going to talk to these few people and he's going to tell them you can do it and you can make it and we believe in you and all the good Dr. Seuss little, you know, inspirational things, which are true. But I just think if you zone out for the next 20 minutes, if you check out mentally, perhaps God wants to say something to you and you might miss it. So parents, grandparents, church family collectively, I want us to look in at 2 Samuel chapter 20, chapter 23. Let's begin reading one verse, verse 20. It says, "There was also Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, a valiant warrior from Kabzeel. He did many heroic deeds, which included killing two of Moab's mightiest warriors, and another time he chased a lion." Stop right there. The sentence continues, but if you put a period there, that's enough. He didn't see a lion. He wasn't like at the Montgomery Zoo. He chased a lion. That's enough for me. That's a heroic deed, but it doesn't stop there. It continues, it says, he chased a lion down into a pit. Well, you've cornered yourself in. This is about to get really bad. But it says, despite the snow, okay, weather conditions making it worse, and the slippery ground, he caught the lion and killed it. This guy's my hero. It's important to note, if we were to continue reading throughout the next few verses, it says, after this, David made him, King David, made him the commander of his bodyguard. Wow. Let's take a second and pray. Father, I pray that in the next 20 minutes, as we allow your word to speak to our hearts, God, that we would focus in on your message today, that our ears would be open, our minds would be alert, and our spirits receptive to what you want to say to us today. God, I pray that this word would be your property to communicate with your children, that if you can't speak through me, God, you would speak in spite of me, because you want so desperately to reach us today. May your voice be clear. May it be compelling and loud. Then when we leave here, we can say one to another, surely the Lord has spoken unto us. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said? Amen. Now let me state the obvious for a second. When the image of a 500-pound lion comes across the optic nerve of the eye and then transmits into the visual cortex of the brain, the brain will only send one overarching message to the body. Anybody guess what that is? Run. Run now. Run fast. Run far. And for most of us, finding ourselves face to face with a lion would qualify as a problem, but it would also qualify as probably the last problem we would ever have, because we would be his lunch. But you've got to give it to Benaiah here, saying, I chased a lion, got down into the hole with it, trapped it, and killed it. putting that on your resume when you're applying to be a bodyguard with the king of Israel? I mean, you got to be a shoe-in, right? I mean, David didn't check his references. He said, when can you start? So Benaiah became David's bodyguard. But if we were to continue the story further in Scripture, we won't for time's sake. You'll find decades later, Benaiah climbed the chain of command to become the commander-in-chief under David's son, King Solomon, also. And King Solomon, as you know, was a man of great wealth, great influence, was king over most of the modern world at that time. And so Benaiah, as second in command, you might say he was not only the second most powerful man in the kingdom, for all intents and purposes, he might be the second most powerful man in all the world. So when you trace that genealogy of success backwards, you find a defining moment and a defining decision. So Benaiah had this encounter with a lion, and he had a question that he asked himself. Am I going to run away from what I'm afraid of, or am I going to have courage to do the impossible? I don't think anything has changed for us, quite honestly, whether you're a graduate, whether you're 75 years old, whether you've been saved 5 minutes or 50 years. I think the question remains the same. Am I going to play it safe? Am I going to rest in the safety and security of all that has surrounded me currently? Or will I trust God even when it doesn't make sense? Am I going to let fear dictate my decisions, or will I live by faith? Because what if I fail? And let me just say along the way, graduates, I hope you do have some failures. I really do. I didn't call you a failure. I'm not saying I want you to be a failure, because the only way that you are a failure is if you quit. Failing doesn't make you a failure. Quitting does. But I do hope you have some failures, because it's in those failures where you learn more about yourself and you learn more about God. It's in the failures of my life. It's in the low moments. It's in the disappointments. It's in the mistakes. It's those times where I dug down deep and found out, boy, there was more in me than I thought there was. It's in those moments where I also found out, boy, there's more to God than I thought there was. Because you know what? On the mountaintops of success, God can feel distant, because we feel like we did it. We got here. We achieved this. But it's in those low moments of the valley where you have nothing but Him and you find out He's all that you need. So along the way, I hope you have plenty of wins and successes, but I also hope you have some failures, because they will push you, if you let them, closer to the God of your destiny, closer to what He has for you. Sometimes our dreams need to die so that they can be resurrected and God can dust us off and pick us back up and set us on the plan and the path that He has for us. See, it doesn't matter how many mistakes you make or how many opportunities you miss. There's a God who is seated on the throne today. He's sovereign. All authority in heaven and on earth is His, and we are His children. And if He's our Father and we are His children, then everything that's His is ours. The Bible does not say that we are conquerors through God. It says we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. So I want to remind you today, graduates, there is a God who is ordering your steps. Delays and disappointments and derailments are not God's denial for your life. He's not saying no to you if you mess up. He picks you back up and He says, my son, my daughter, it's okay. Follow Dad. I know the way. I've learned more about the character and the nature of God by becoming a father than anything else in my life. Those of you parents and grandparents in the room, you know, as you send your graduate off to school, letting go is so tough. But now you know how God feels. Now you know how God trusts us to make those decisions. And if we skin our knee, if we fail, if we fall off the path, He's right there and He says, it's okay. It's okay. Daddy's here. Mom's here. We got you. We're going to pick you up. There are no curveballs that surprise God. God, I didn't see this coming. It's okay, son. I did. God, what are we going to do? Trust me. I got this. There are moments in life we don't have the answers. And it's okay. We don't have to have the answers, because we know the answer, and His name is Jesus. Now, after this service, graduates, I want to prepare you for what's going to happen immediately after this service and over the next few days and weeks. People are going to come up to you and they're going to ask you one question. So what are you going to do now? Right? Now, that's really just a grown-up, fancy adult version of what we ask our kindergartners, which is, what do you want to be when you grow up? Right? It's so true. We can't ask that to a 22-year-old anymore. We can't say, what do you want to be when you grow up? So we go, great, you graduated? Awesome, got your degree. So what's next? So where do you go from here? And some of you don't quite have all those answers figured out yet. Listen to me, can I tell you something? That's okay. It's okay not to have all the answers just yet. You don't have to have it all figured out. Trust God day by day and moment by moment, and He will show you which path to take. Don't seek opportunities, seek God. And if you seek God, opportunities will seek you. Don't endeavor to meet with the right people, or don't, you know, pray to find the right person. If you pray and meet with God daily, He will make sure you meet the right person. God has plans for your life and appointments for your destiny that you know nothing about that. See, when you back up and you look at this story from a completely objective point of view, Benaiah chasing a lion down into a hole, what is he doing? This is ridiculous. This is illogical. This is foolish. This is idiotic. Chasing a lion is foolish. One of the craziest decisions maybe ever recorded in Scripture. When you encounter a lion, you run away from it. The smallest child knows that. The oldest adult knows that. You don't need a master's degree to figure out you run from lions. What are you thinking? But I believe that God showed him, Benaiah, this is a moment. And it's not just a moment, it's your moment. You know, sometimes a moment makes all the difference. Sometimes we brush through life, we're going about our schedules, and you know what? God gives us an opportunity, and sometimes we recognize it for what it is. Oh, wait, I think this is a moment. And sometimes we breeze right past it. Someone will come up to us, a coworker, a friend, and say, I just got devastating news. My mother has cancer. I don't know what I'm going to do. And it's a moment for us to be God's hand extended in ministry to that person. But we miss the moment because we're on our busy schedule. Sometimes a moment makes all the difference. We don't recognize them when they're happening sometimes. But in this moment, when the lion is running away from Benaiah, instead of running away, he says, this is a moment. This is a moment. This is a moment where I have to summon the courage to do the impossible. When I have to make a choice that could affect the trajectory of my life, I'm not going to just run the other way. I'm going to embrace this moment. If you take a risk, it might change your life. You might look foolish. But what I'm going to tell you today is you've acquired some wisdom, students, graduates. Praise God for that wisdom, but I also hope that you have some foolishness in you as well. You say, wait a minute, this is not an encouraging message. You've asked us to have some failures and some foolishness. Just hang in here with me a second. Because sometimes it's those things that history regards as foolishness that actually change the course of history. Even the Bible itself says it's through the foolishness of preaching that men are saved. I love that. So I pray that along with your wisdom, there would be times when you feel so divinely connected to what God is speaking to your heart, people will tell you, you don't need to do that. That's a bad move. Someone will look at you and say, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you quit your job when you know you don't have another one? And you say, I know that God has told me I'm supposed to quit and go do this. And people are saying, it doesn't make sense. That's illogical, irrational. And you say, I know. It appears foolish to you. The wisdom of man appears foolishness to a divine, all-knowing God. I know. Some of you have had that experience. Just yesterday at Fine Arts, we saw a couple of people who used to attend our church. They've since moved away, Amanda Roach and her daughter Courtney Smith. And I can remember Daniel and Courtney standing right over here in this spot just a few years ago. And I prayed for them after preaching a particular service. And he came up to me afterwards and he said, "You don't know how much that prayer meant, because God has been telling me to quit my job because I hate it. And it's the hours are bad and the pay is worse." He said, "And it's not what I know I'm supposed to be doing. But I can't quit my job because I have a family to provide for. But today, I know your message confirmed in me, I'm quitting tomorrow." He quit his job with nothing on the horizon. Nothing on the horizon. And 2 weeks later, he bumped into, coincidentally, a man that he hadn't seen in a few years, offered him a job on the spot, better pay, better hours. Right in line with what he was wanting to do. Don't tell me that it's all got to make sense here. Sometimes it's got to make sense here. Listen to God, young people. Listen to God, graduates. Listen to God, grandparents. There are moments when God's going to summon courage inside of you to do something that seems impossible, well beyond what you bring to the table, and you're going to say, "God, I can't. God, I'm scared. God, I don't know." And he's going to say, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, but come on." 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, "God deliberately chose things that the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise." Noah looked foolish building a boat in the middle of the Turkish desert with no body of water more than fewer than 1,000 miles close. Sarah looked foolish shopping for maternity clothes at 90 years old. Right? The Israelites looked foolish circling Jericho with no weapons in hand, just marching. David looked foolish marching out to fight a 10-foot giant with just a slingshot in his hand. The wise men looked foolish following a yonder star. Peter looked foolish stepping out of the boat against the wind and the waves and trying to walk on water. And Jesus looked foolish, half naked, hanging on a cross. But faith sometimes is the willingness to look foolish. And if we aren't willing to look foolish, then perhaps we are truly foolish. Because the results speak for themselves. Noah was saved from the flood. Sarah gave birth to Isaac. The walls of Jericho came a tumbling down. David defeated Goliath. The wise men found the Messiah. Peter walked on water, and Jesus was raised from the dead.
Amen. That's good.
You see, all those people I named are faced with the same decisions we are. Am I going to let fear rob me of my destiny, or am I going to have the courage to believe that anything is possible? That I'm his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he ordained long ago. The Heavenly Father is preparing works for you. If you're 18 in this room, he's got it laid out. You don't have the plan, but he does. If you're 75 in this room, don't quit yet. He's not done yet. He still has a plan. And he's able to do immeasurably more than we can think or ask or imagine. We just can't play defense. We can't sit back and let life come to us. We've got to go on the offensive. We've got to take action, make a step, make a choice. Take action now. And sometimes doing what's right takes courage even in the face of overwhelming opposition. Joshua Chamberlain was a student of theology and a professor of rhetoric. He was not a soldier. But when the Civil War happened and duty called, Joshua Chamberlain answered. He climbed the ranks and became a colonel in the 20th Maine Volunteer Infantry Regiment of the Union Army. And on July 2nd, 1863, Chamberlain and his 300-soldier regiment were the only thing that stood between the Confederates and certain defeat at a battlefield in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And at 2:30 p.m., the 15th and 47th Alabama Infantry Regiment of the Confederate Army charged at Joshua Chamberlain, but Chamberlain and his men held their ground. The Confederate rebels came back again, charging a second time, and a third time, and a fourth time, and a fifth time. And by the last charge, only 80 men Only 80 Union soldiers in that regiment stood with Joshua Chamberlain. Chamberlain himself was knocked down to the ground by a bullet that hit his belt buckle. But the 34-year-old school teacher got right back up because he realized this was his date with destiny. And when Sergeant Tozier informed Chamberlain that no reinforcements were coming, that his men were down to only one round of ammunition per soldier, Chamberlain knew he had to act decisively. So their lookout boy, perched high in a tree, informed Colonel Chamberlain that the Confederates were now beginning to form rank, which is what you do when you wipe someone out. The rational thing to do at that point, with no ammunition, just a few men left, outnumbered heavily, and no reinforcements coming, you either retreat or you surrender. But Chamberlain wasn't wired that way. He made a defining decision that turned the tide of the war and single-handedly saved the Union. In full view of the enemy, he climbed on top of the barricade of rocks that separated each army in the middle of the battlefield. He climbed on top of it, grabbed his sword, and yelled out, "Charge!" His men fixed their bayonets and surged forward, running towards the Confederate army, which vastly outnumbered them. And they pulled off a military tactic called a great right wheel and surprised the Confederate army. And in what ranks as one of the most improbable victories in military history, 80 Union soldiers captured 4,000 Confederates in 5 minutes flat. What seemed like a suicide mission saved the Union. Historians will tell you this, that if Chamberlain had not charged, the rebels would have gained the high ground. And if the Confederates gained the high ground, they probably would have won the Battle of Gettysburg. And if the Confederates won the Battle of Gettysburg, the historical consensus is that they would have taken the Union Army altogether and eventually won the war. So one man's courage not only saved the day, saved the battle, saved the war, but ultimately saved the Republic. After the war, Joshua Chamberlain went on to become the 32nd governor of Maine. And 30 years after this, he was given the Medal of Honor. And in his old age, Chamberlain reflected back upon that day and that defining moment. And he said these words, "I had deep within me the inability to do nothing. I knew that I may die, but I also knew I wouldn't die with a bullet in my back. I had to move forward." Wow. Wow, we can't just not do anything wrong. We have to do something right. We have to do something right. So I ask you, what is your moment? What's the thing that God is speaking courage into your life for? What is he asking you to trust him with? Maybe if you are a graduate here today, it's your future. Maybe it's the next couple of months where you're going to move away from everything you've known and everyone you've known and start this life called adulthood. Maybe you're in the room and you're in your 30s or your 40s and seeing all these graduates reminds you, unfortunately, of what might have been for you. And in your heart, you have a passion to go back to school and finish what you started. Maybe that's you today. You know, when I graduated from college about 15 years ago, in the freshman class, when I graduated college, was a 76-year-old woman. She said, "It's always been my dream, and I'm not giving up. I want a degree." Listen to me. It's never too late to be who you've always wanted to be. It's never too late to be who you might have been. It's never too late. Maybe for here today, you're like that story I told. You're working a dead-end job where the hours are bad and the pay is worse. The environment's horrible. And you have this inside of you. Man, God is, he's put it in my heart to start a business. He's put it in my heart to go do this. He's put it in my heart, and I'm unsure because I'm secure. I don't like it. I'm not happy. I dread going to work, but at least I have something to eat. At least I can pay my electricity bill. Now I'm telling you, I'm not saying this is for everybody. It's possible there's somebody here today, and God is saying to your heart, man, what am I calling you to do? And you're just settling for mediocrity. I've got greatness ahead of you, and you're just coasting on cruise control. God is calling you to have courage to start that business or lead your new life. Maybe you're here, you're in your 40s, your 50s, your 60s. You've already conquered the business world. Success, you've got it by the tail. You have everything life has to offer, material, wealth, notoriety within this community, but you just feel like something's missing. And maybe you've acquired everything around you, but you just want to do something that has an eternal impact. Maybe you were here on this Wednesday night and you saw not only families who have teenagers in this church, but you saw kids and teenagers who are a part of our outreach ministry. They come on a van or a bus every single week and their families aren't really connected. And you say, man, those kids blow me away. They're capable of ministry. They spoke to my heart. They brought a tear to my eye with their actions, with their song, with their dramas. Those kids have more potential. They have more destiny. I want to see them continue to come. I want to see their families begin to come. What do I have to do? Do I need to sign up to drive a van? Do I need to drive the bus? Do I need to teach a class? Whatever it may be, I want to make an impact in this community. I want to invest in the next generation. What's the moment that you say, God, I don't want to pass this moment by. This could change the trajectory of my life and ultimately the impact your life leaves. Maybe you're here today, like Pastor Mark said earlier. And what God is asking you to have the courage to do isn't go back to school or start a business or speak to your friends about Him. It's really trust Him for the first time ever with your life. To go all in, to push your chips to the table and say, I'm not holding anything back anymore, God. Everything I have is yours. The good, the bad, the ugly. This is me. I'm here and I need you. I'm tired of trying to live my life my way by my rules. It's not working. It never really has. And today, God, the hardest thing I can do isn't quit my job. It's bow my knee and make you Lord. Would you bow your heads with me as we prepare to close today? It's possible in the room this size, a crowd this size, that every one of those categories I named, there's a few in each one. Graduations make me a little nostalgic and reflective. It's like when I go to weddings. I see that bride and groom holding hands, professing their love to each other, and it makes me reflective. I grab my wife's hand and boy, it just makes me fall in love all over again and think, man, it's us, baby. It's me and you against the world. Graduations kind of do the same thing. They make me think we're launching people out into adulthood and life and we're saying change the world and you can be anything you want to be and God's going to do amazing things in our lives. But I look back over my life and say, is that really true? Have I done great things? Have I fulfilled everything that you wanted me to do? Have I stepped fully into my destiny? Have I made the impact you've wanted me to make? Have I obeyed your whispers, oh God? Have I followed your leading to the best of my ability? And so with your heads bowed and your eyes closed today, the first question I'm going to ask is, if you're here today and you say, Bart, and God's been dealing with me for a little while, and even today while you were speaking, I just sense God tugging at my heart a little bit. There was something He was asking me to have courage to do. And I don't know what it might be for you. Maybe it's something I didn't even name. But you just say, man, I feel like there's more. I feel like there's more. I feel like there's better than what I've settled for. And I don't want to miss God. I don't want to miss a moment. So if you're here today and you say, I want God to use me in a greater way. I want to take a step of faith and courage towards Him. And do the impossible. Make a difference. Change the world. With nobody looking around, I've got my hand in the air. Is there anyone that would join me and say, yeah, that's me, Bart. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, the second question I'm going to ask, and I'm going to keep my hand up, is this. I know Pastor Mark gave an invitation earlier, but maybe you missed that one. Maybe you thought it wasn't for you, but somehow while I've been speaking, God has been speaking to you, and you say, boy, that's me. I need to surrender my life fully to Him today. I need to bow my life, bow my heart, bow my knee, and make Him the Lord and Savior of my life today. I know nobody wants to be the first one. Guess what? I'll put my hand up in the air. Is there anyone that would join me and say, I want to make Him my Lord and Savior today? Yeah. Awesome. So what I want us to do collectively is this. I want us to pray together. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to repeat the words that I say. And together, we're going to pray a prayer of consecration for ourselves, that we would do what He's calling us to do, that we would have the courage to follow Him from this day forward, and that we would yield our lives to Him completely. Would you pray with me together? Heavenly Father, come on, let's pray together, everyone. Heavenly Father, I thank You that You saw something in me worth sending Your Son to die for. You have a plan and a purpose for me, for my life, for my family, and for my future. And I choose You today, God. Everything that You have for me, I say yes to it. Let me follow it fully. Let me obey totally. I hold back nothing today. I make You my Lord. I make You my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Erase my past. Delete my wrongs. And let me serve You from this day forward. And may I live a life of faith. May I live a life of integrity. And may I always do what You put in my heart to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, can you put your hands together and celebrate those who've made a decision to yield their life to Him today? So cool. So cool. Now, graduates, I want to leave you with three quick bits of wisdom from some of the greatest philosophers in history. The first is the poet Robert Frost. He said, two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. The second from the psalmist David in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. And lastly, I leave you with the words of the great philosopher, Bart Lindsay. Celebrate this moment as long as you can. Celebrate everything you can. Every single day. Live as if this is the first day and the last day of your life. Don't let fear dictate your decisions. Don't do what's easy. Do what's right. Don't trade destiny for disappointment. Don't trade the realization of a dream for the regret of a decision. And lastly, some of you know what I'm about to say. Don't you ever, ever, whether you're 18 or 80, don't you ever settle for mediocrity when God has called you to greatness. Thank you, guys.
Wow. What a powerful word for all of us today. And I'm going to release you with this blessing. But before I do, if you made a decision for Christ, we encourage you, a couple of things. Is one, the little commitment card I encourage you to fill out. You can do that and turn it in on your way out so that we can know what God's doing in your life and we can pray for you. The other is this, these altars are open for you. You can come and kneel and begin to pray and kind of solidify what God's done in your life. The last thing I want to remind you of, well, a couple things actually. I just wanted to first say that on the heels of our graduation celebration, we have an evening party that Pastor Bart has mentioned a number of times. They were in the announcements, they were in your bulletins. But we're going to have a lot of fun this evening. We're going to have some food, time of fellowship. It's an opportunity for you to be able to give individual gifts to the graduates, cards, or gift cards or money or whatever. But it's also an opportunity for you to be a part of the prayer Then we're going to pray over those graduates. We're going to give them a gift this evening as well. It's going to be a special time. And again, we're going to have games and all kinds of fun. Getting choked up. That's because my boy's graduating. Anyway, but I also want to let you know we've got two really significant celebratory days to come. Next week, as you know, is Mother's Day. It's a unique day because some have lost their moms this past year. Or others who didn't have the kind of relationship with their mom as some do. And some of you are new moms, and others of you are wishing that you were a new mom. But regardless of your situation, I believe that, you know, there may be two of the biggest days of the year that people show up at church is Christmas and Easter, but there's a third biggest day, and it's called Mother's Day. And I encourage you to invite people to come out and celebrate that day. I know that my wife, Michelle, has got a word from the Lord that she's going to bring to you and to this church, and it's going to be a powerful word that day. You don't want to miss next week. And then the next week after that, again, is Pentecost Sunday. 14 more days, friends, that I'm asking for us to partner in prayer and believe God for the impossible. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and bring you peace. And may the Lord our God write his name on your heart and declare, "You're my child. No one can take you from my hands." May you know the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gift that he gives you, that he loves you with an everlasting love. And may that love go to you and go through you to be a blessing to those around you. May you be a blessing to your neighbors, to your friends, to your family, to your coworkers, to your classmates, to your spouses and children. And may you be a blessing to this world. I bless you to be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a Jesus-filled week. We'll see you either tonight or Wednesday or next Sunday on Mother's Day. God bless you. You're dismissed.